Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to continue in our current subject of studies, Four Glories of God. And today we wish to consider the glory of God's power. Now, we, on the last broadcast, spoke of the glory of His grace, and we attributed most of the study to the Father. And today we wish to see what the Father does for us in His wonderful power to save us from our sins. And then on the succeeding broadcast, we will consider the glory of Christ's coming, the glory of Christ's person. The text that we wish to read from today in connection from the glory of His power is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Here, His power is spoken of in connection with His glory. We read there, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." These people who have rejected Christ and who have taken their own way and who have refused God's salvation, His overseers of grace, of which we were speaking on our last broadcast, they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. They will never know the presence of the Lord. They will be put away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And I say it with reverence, but I must say it. These people have gone beyond the help of God Himself. He will not help those. It is not that He didn't do everything He could to keep them out of destruction. It is indeed the most wonderful thing that we can speak of, the lengths to which God went to save us from hell. He gave His own Son to die on the cross for our sins. And our Lord Jesus Christ indeed suffered all the punishment that we would ever suffer in those short hours on the cross. The intensity of His suffering, His omniscience, His ability to appreciate it all, it made Him sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, the very anticipation of the cross that He went through with it. For you and for me, took our punishment so that God could righteously forgive us if we would just place our faith in Him. And you know, there is something here that's very interesting. In verse 8 of this chapter that we, or these verses that we've just read in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, rather, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God purposely. They refused to know Him. They turned their back on Him. They would not know Him in spite of the overtures of the Spirit of God to win them to our Lord Jesus Christ. They know not God purposely, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. One says, is one saved by obedience? I thought it was by faith. These people are said not to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's not by obedience. We do not get saved by simply doing acts of obedience. But after all, when you consider it, expressing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is obeying His invitation. Now, for instance, our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 and 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, that's an invitation. There's nothing compelling about it. It's an invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's really an invitation. But is it? No, it's not that. It's a command. The invitation of a king is a command. Our entertainers that go over to England, sometimes when they go over to England to do their skits and to display their abilities to entertain, sometimes they receive a polite invitation from Buckingham Palace to put on their act at the palace, and it's couched in the most gracious terms. And this is indeed an honor, but you know what they call it? They call it a command performance. The request of a king, the invitation of a king, is a command. We see some refusing in the gospel stories. We see some refusing the invitation of a king, and it's tragic. It's fatal. Now, they would not obey the gospel. They would not listen to God. Now, in the remainder of the broadcast, we want to speak of the power of God working for us to be saved. These people have divorced themselves from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. They will never know the glory of His power. They will never know His gracious presence. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we read these words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It is the power of God unto salvation. How do we get it? To everyone that believeth. When we indeed express our faith in the Lord Jesus, we open a channel for that power to come into our lives and change us. The new birth takes place. No human ingenuity or power can accomplish this. Now, the word here, power, in Romans 1 and 16, is the word in the Greek, dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. It is an explosive power. And the power of God blasts us away from our conceit. It blasts us away from our pride. It blasts us away from our preconceived ideas. It even blasts us away from our religion, if we're looking to our religion to save us. And I think some people think because they have joined the church that that's all that they have to do to get to heaven. It's not a matter of joining church. John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 5, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's a matter of a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not speaking against religion, but we do say this. You cannot depend on religion to save you. Religion comes after salvation. It does not produce it. So we see that here, by simple trusting faith, the power of God comes in and saves us. Now, it's a changing power. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 5 and 9, we read there, the Apostle Paul is speaking, "For our gospel came not in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." Now, we're going to see this power, how it worked. Verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." This power blasted them away from their idols. This was the power that changed their lives. This is the power that made them notable. Paul, wherever he went, he evidently was met by the questions, "What happened at Thessalonica?" And, oh, the power of God came in there and changed pagans into Christians. And the Thessalonian epistles are beautiful because of what the power of God did in saving them. Now, there's the available power that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is the prayer of the Apostle Paul, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power." God wants us to know that power. What is that power? That power is the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. Here again in a prayer, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul prays that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Spirit of God helps us live the Christian life. I think Satan would have some people withhold their faith in the Lord because they say, I can't live up to Christian ethics. I just can't do it. I just don't have it in me. Of course you don't. You have help. You have help from the Spirit of God to help us live to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is no excuse. I can't live up to it. The Spirit of God will help you do that. And then there, the Christians become channels of power. That's true in the book of Acts, chapter 4. In that portion of Scripture, the Christians were under severe persecution. They had a prayer meeting about it. Acts 4 and 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, these people had the power of God working through them. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit of God, so they became channels of power. Now, His power sustains us. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 reads, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Here again, the Spirit of God sustains us. His power keeps us. Peter in his first epistle writes there, chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, that is keeping power. Now, we have beyond this translating power that raptures us into the immediate presence of the Lord, and it's all by the power of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 and 43, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Where does the power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 11. We can't turn to it now. Time is slipping away from us. But the Spirit of God raptures us, gives us a resurrection body. Believe me, had you noticed that there's a sequence in what we've been saying on the broadcast today. You start out with power. You go on through life, the Christian experience, with His sustaining power, keeping power, available power. And we end our lives with a burst of power of the Spirit of God. It's power all the way. It's the glory of His power. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that You will help us to live in the power of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.